think you are.
Who Do You Think You Are, the podcast where we ask creative, interesting people what their world looks like at this moment, but we have no guests this week. It's just me, China Fry.
And me, Amy Clark.
And me, Andrew Martin.
So welcome.
We're just going to talk about our own lives.
Yeah.
We're the creative, interesting people this week.
Yep. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, on the way here, like, entertaining if we were different people doing, like, a whole bit. Like, yes. Today our guest is Mandy Smythman.
To do, like, be a character.
Yeah. But we'd have to be
committed. Yeah.
Committed to it, and it would probably be annoying.
Yeah. We could also impersonate all of the seven people I invited on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Find my invitation.
Yeah. Call them out by name.
Put them on blast, yeah.
No, they were all busy, so. Mm.
Yeah, I asked my one friend in Santa Monica, I was like, you want to come? And she had a rehearsal.
Yeah, so. Everybody's got something going on.
Yeah.
And this works out because Amy's been in Japan for 2 weeks, so we haven't seen a whole lot of her, so it'll be like a catch-up episode. And, and hopefully it's interesting for me. I don't know, your friend, we can call her Audrey. Only listens to the pie charts at the beginning, and then she turns it off because she doesn't know any. She lives in Indiana.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So she's not as interested in that.
Wow. So this episode is for you,
for you, Audrey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know me either. Skip past my part.
Yeah, she's scrubbing around a lot. You want to dive in with pie charts?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
Whoever can go first.
I can start.
Yeah, you have some notes
right now.
Yeah.
20%, I'm going to Washington, to Tacoma this weekend.
Whoa!
Yeah, very briefly to go see my friend Miranda Razzo.
Does she live there, or is she...
She lives in Tacoma, okay. Yeah. And she's lived there, I think, for about probably a year and a half now. Yeah, that's right. She's a brilliant photographer, and so... Back in November, she had this sale going on for photo shoots, like 10% off of her normal rate, which is already so low because she's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hey, I'll take a trip to Seattle and get pictures taken and
that's
catch up
so
with
exciting.
My good friend. Yeah. And she just got a puppy, which is great.
Yeah.
What kind of puppy?
It's a, I don't know, it looks like a husky, but it's all white.
Oh.
One of those. So, yeah, it's very
Siberian
sweet.
Husky?
I don't know.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
Albino?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Ooh.
Albino husky? Huh. I don't know. I'll have to ask her, but...
Neat.
Yeah. Name's Indy.
Hmm? Oh, the puppy's name?
I-N-D-Y? I-N-D-I-E.
Oh, interesting. I also thought I-N-D-Y, like the race.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But... Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But in fact, like independent.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
Neat.
Yeah.
You should say her website name.
Oh, yeah, plug it.
Yeah.
I think it's therazzos.com, R-A-Z-O-S, therazzos.com.
Is it two of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, her husband is Hunter Razzo.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's also a photographer?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
They're both designers. They met each other in a design program at school, I think. And now they're in Washington, the most artistic state of the 50.
They're very cool.
I guess that's true. Is that official or... Your own designation.
It's my own designation.
I could see, I feel like it, like if you were to publish a like what criteria you would use, probably Washington.
It'd be up there.
Or New York, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be the contender, I think.
Yeah.
But in terms of like purely artistic, like not for money, if that's like something, I feel like Washington is definitely up there.
And New York just kind of has New York City, which is huge, obviously, but Washington has... No, I was going to say it's Portland, but that's in Oregon.
Washington.
Washington has Seattle.
I get it.
And Tacoma.
But I feel like all over. Where's Nirvana from?
Seattle.
No, they're like from outside Seattle. They're from a...
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Maybe they're from like an exurb of Seattle. Because I remember going through the town that Kurt Cobain was born in.
Mm.
When you, like their town motto now is Come As You Are.
Mm.
It's Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, that's
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh. Cage the Elephant has a song called Aberdeen, and I wonder if that's what it's about.
Or about Scotland.
Oh, is it there too?
Aberdeen is a place in, I believe, don't check it, but I'm pretty sure Aberdeen is.
Aberdeen, nice. Come as you are. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exciting. And then 20%, my commercial just aired, or saw it. Yeah, it's fun.
How was it? Can we see it after?
Yeah, okay. I'll show it to you after. Maybe I'll put the link in the bio.
Yeah, you should.
Description. Yeah. It's fun.
That's
great. You can see me pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like on a boat looking rugged? Or
on
like
a boat, full nun gear, looking longingly towards the sea. Yeah. And there's also a short thing where I'm smiling at a young child.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks amazing. It's very professional.
What's it for? It's for a medical?
It's for Mercy Hospital, which is a network in the Midwest. Yeah, and I also got paid for that today.
Neat.
Yep.
Oh. That's cool it's interesting, the Midwest is a place you cannot reach on boat.
Right, it is. Yeah,
I guess unless you're coming, can you reach it?
No, it's landlocked, baby.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know the full origin story of these nuns.
Yeah.
Maybe they started in the East and then it fizzled out and they moved to St. Louis?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe they started in Wisconsin. Or no. I'm saying they went across one of the Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. They like moved and they were like, oh, more water.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. So your commercial actually takes place on Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Filmed in the, what are we on, the Pacific?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Filmed in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Taking place on Lake Michigan.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yep. So that was fun. 20%, I already talked to you two about this, but I'm going to bring it up again because I've been thinking so much about it. And it was back in my Facebook feed today, so.
Oh, this.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So to fill the listeners in, Tucker Carlson had this segment on his show about the Purdue Online Writing Lab website.
Oh, that's why it's called the Purdue Owl.
Online writing.
I thought that was your mascot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Our mascot is a giant man with a hammer.
Yep.
Is it? You're not the Boilermakers, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did
Purdue
it.
Purdue Pete is our mascot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Tucker Carlson, Fox News, had a segment on the Purdue Owl site because they suggest on one of their page to use gender-neutral words. So firefighter instead of fireman. Humanity instead of mankind. And so the segment on Fox News had twisted it and blown it up to make the argument that liberals are trying to ban the 3-letter string M-A-N. So Tucker argued for the liberals, or he presented our argument. Not our argument. It's no argument. It's no one's argument.
No one is trying to get rid of man.
It's like, I get like caught up in the, okay, yeah. No one's trying to get rid of man. It was a suggestion to begin with. And also he started saying that cities like Manchester would have to rename themselves because liberals are up in arms about man. And the reason I sort of got extra mad about this was that it was a girl who posted it was a girl who should have by all means known better. And posted it with one of those, like, captions. It's like, if this is true, this is crazy. Of course it is. It's like, just, it took me 2 seconds to Google what was going on and to figure out that he's just misrepresenting not even an argument, just a suggestion on the Purdue Writing website.
Yeah.
And just, like, the larger, it's like, that's such a small thing. And that's what Fox News does, and that makes me so angry. Because I of course never watch it, and I don't even, if there are segments on things that are actually important, I would never even click on it. But because it was Purdue and it was so trivial, I was like, all right, I'll bite. And then I'm like, I shouldn't have, because I've been thinking about this for 2 days straight.
Yeah, like, it's so infuriating.
Yeah, it's like they're so manipulative. Mm-hmm. And everyone, even, there were 3 people, including myself, I jumped into it. I'm sorry, guys, I jumped into a Facebook argument.
I'm proud of you for that.
Yeah. But especially because this girl should have known better to be like, exactly what I just said. It's like, this is stupid, this is a straw man argument. Tucker Carlson is an idiot. Please don't repost him anymore.
Yeah.
And then, but all the other 10 comments on that feed that weren't like, hey, this is ridiculous, mm-hmm. were, oh my God, can you believe it? Liberals are at it again. It's like taking it, you know, as if it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yeah. you know, you should know better than to just take that at face value.
Right.
But they didn't, and that's very disappointing.
Yeah. It's just so funny that, like, Tucker Carlson just took a grammar website and was like, that's liberal. First, like,
they have no political standing. The Writing Lab has no political affiliation.
It's just, like, I use it in high school, I'm pretty sure, for, like, learning MLA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's literally just, also, firefighter sounds cooler than fireman.
I agree. Yeah.
It's a really frustrating thing that, like, people have figured out, even though they're like, well, we're supposed to be bringing people news because what matters are ratings. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, people will watch what they want to hear and see. So we'll give them more of that.
Yeah.
And then people just want to be fed that kind of stuff. And it sucks when it's like, that's your school and you know. And also the argument doesn't make sense. And we probably should use gender neutral pronouns for professions that are gender neutral.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just so silly. And I think, like, now I was thinking back to the whole Starbucks Christmas cup debate. I was like, this was Fox News' fault. Mm-hmm. I'm positive. I don't have to look it up. Well, I should look it up because I don't want to be spreading false information. But I bet if you track
that argument. Yeah, I mean, the war on Christmas is not a real thing.
Yeah, no one actually.
It doesn't exist.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starbucks isn't trying to eliminate Christmas cups. They never were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the war on Christmas, I said something about this past Christmas, but that's why I always wanted, because obviously Trump was making a big thing of it, mm-hmm. like, we're saying Merry Christmas again, and it's like, where the fuck were you where people weren't saying Merry Christmas? I think I tweeted this, but yeah, like, they play Christmas carols in LAX, the most, like, mm-hmm.
denomination.
Not denominational. Yeah, place you could ever be.
It's an airport. It's an international airport.
Airport, one of the biggest cities in the world, plays, like, not even, like Jingle Bells and stuff. They play, like, Oh Holy, like, Town of Bethlehem and stuff.
Yeah, you really can't escape Christmas.
Yeah.
It honestly is a little oppressive. Like, how much Christmas. I wouldn't mind if we scaled things back a little. Yeah, it's like in England, Christmas decorations start, the first stores to do it start doing it in August, like, putting out Christmas stuff.
That's great.
Like, late August,
That's so cool.
It's like, you cannot, and English people, too, are, there's, mm-hmm. like, English conservatives are like, there's a war on Christmas, we're not allowed to celebrate. It's like, you guys are celebrating in the summer.
Yeah. Because
there's no Thanksgiving in England, so you really have kind of, like, there's no time that you have to celebrate another holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You just have free reign.
Yeah.
All of fall.
Yeah. It's making me excited for Christmas.
I know. It's only like 10 months.
I've already thought through, like, a lot of my, like planned out, like, Halloween movies that I'm going to watch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's it is a great time, fall. We're in, like, the most depressing time of the year.
I hate it. March.
What do we have? St. Patrick's Day?
Nothing. Oh, God, yeah.
So bad.
It's even, like, there are no real federal holidays for the next 3 months. March, April, the end of May, you get Labor Day, I think?
Yeah.
Memorial Day, one of those.
And then it's Memorial the Day,
I think, yeah. And it's the summer, which now is also, like, there's nothing in the summer except for the 4th of July.
Because we live in L.A.
Yeah.
You mean, so you don't even have, like, the night, you don't, like, get the nice thing of, like, in Indiana, like, summer is, like, an exciting time because all of a sudden it's, like, warm and sunny again.
Yeah.
But, like, here it's sunny all the time, basically, and warm, so you don't even, Yeah.
Right. It's like another. It's just slightly hotter.
Yeah.
In fact, it's like too hot.
Yeah, too hot. It's the least pleasant time of year.
Yeah, and you, my prior company. I guess I haven't. Have I talked about quitting my job? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Hopefully. Yes. Okay. In New York, they do, like, summer Fridays, so everyone, like, leaves early on Fridays.
Oh my God.
And we just didn't have that in LA.
Wow. Oh yeah.
Like, it was like, well, it's just 90 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Winter Fridays.
Yeah. We should have Winter Fridays.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's basically it for that. And then, 10%. I was really happy with how one of my pottery pieces turned out. I have to show it to you. I have a couple new things, like that little guy over there.
Oh my gosh. It's a pencil cup.
Yeah.
I wanted to take a picture and send it to you, but my phone was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I was at one of those, like, random, like thingamabob stores that pop up in gentrified neighborhoods. You know what I'm talking about? That, like, sell things no one needs, and they're small, and they sound, like, usually very, like, feminist-leaning, like, the Futures Female t-shirts and stuff, but you're like, I feel uncomfortable this year. Anyway, I was in one of those. But they had these, like, really cool mugs. They were just, like, these, like, kind of flat mugs with these long handles, but they're really prettily painted, and then they had, like, yellow polka dots, and then the handle was, like, solid yellow. That was, like, they looked really cool, and they looked like really something that you could easily make. Wow. But I just like the, like, I'll find them and send a picture to you.
Yeah, please do.
But I feel like you could really, like, I was looking at that stuff, and I was like, I feel like China could make all this easily. And they were going for, like, it was like $40 a mug.
Really?
Yeah. So I think you could definitely do that.
Thank you. Yeah. I because now I'm sort of at a point where I'm, like, pretty good at making the things that I've been making for a couple months. Mm. And now I'm sort of ready to, I don't know, either find a style or start doing new things.
Do you, like, follow Potters? Is that the name? Is that a good gender-neutral word for them?
Yeah,
Pot man? Clayman, I guess. Are there, like, famous ones or...
I mean, there are some that have a big social media following. I follow a few that are really good from the studio that I go to.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which is nice because then if I see something, then I can ask them how they did it.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I... Mm-hmm. One girl was working with Underglaze, which means nothing to most people listening. Mm-hmm. But it was just a really pretty way of glazing things. And I was like, oh, can you teach me how to do that? And then,
That's so cool. What a nice community.
Yeah, it is. Oh. And you would think, too, because one time I did this like, glazing thing that turned out really pretty, and then the next couple weeks, I saw, like, things popping up that were using the same technique that I did, and I was like, I don't know that they copied me, but if they did, I'm very flattered. Mm-hmm. It's, like, never that thing.
Yeah. Where,
I can't believe they were doing the same thing I did. It's more like, oh, yeah, we're all sort of walking around and learning from each other, which is cool.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy because I feel like sometimes, like, in those artistic communities, you can get, like, a little bit like, oh, well, this person's like, doing this is their thing.
Right.
Like, what's my voice? But it's so, like, oh my God. And you have, like, actual collaboration like that, and everyone's supporting each other.
Yeah.
So it's wholesome really cool. And lovely.
There's sometimes where, because there are some really talented people, obviously, who go to the studio. And if they see somebody who's struggling with something new, this one guy stood for an hour with this woman who was working with, like, 5 pounds of clay, which she'd never done before.
Yeah.
And he just sat with her and helped her until she had it figured out. I was like, that's really awesome.
Wow.
Because he was there to do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And he wasn't getting paid for it, which most people would have charged you for, like, a private lesson, essentially. Mm-hmm. So
heartwarming.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very nice.
You knew Potters.
Yeah.
Nice
look
people.
Look after each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. So. Yeah, and then 10%. I started watching Queer Eye today. Have you watched that?
I've heard so much stuff about it. I haven't watched it, but...
It's really... I cried in the first episode.
That's what everyone's been saying on Twitter.
Yeah, especially...
Is it just called Queer Eye this time around, or is it still Queer Eye for the straight guy?
I think it's just Queer Eye.
Ah,
yeah.
The reboot.
I don't think it's for the straight... I don't remember that. Hmm.
But it is... It's... Sorry, I don't really know that much about it. It's like they take a guy who kind of, like, doesn't really know how to dress and live and...
Yeah, there are 5 different gay guys who who come to different men in Georgia who have been nominated by someone in their lives, and they get sort of, it's not just a clothes makeover, but sort of a life makeover. Mm-hmm. They have a cook, I guess a chef, a interior designer, a hair and, like, makeup stylist, a clothing stylist, and then, like, a life consultant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And the first episode, this guy who, you know, was living just, like, if you picture a 60-year-old man in the middle of Georgia, small town Georgia, it's sort of exactly what you would picture him.
Yeah.
But he was so nice, and he clearly, like, loved them and got on with them so well, so quickly. It was just such a sweet thing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the episode... Once they had done everything for him, and really, like, especially his house, they downplay that a little bit because they give equal parts to all those elements. But this guy totally redecorates and redesigns someone's house, and that could be the show by itself.
Yeah. I mean, that is That's like five shows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they sort of, yeah, they give it the same amount of time, which I think is insane, but that's okay. But yeah, at the end of the episode, this like 60-year-old guy was crying and telling them how much he loved them and appreciated them. It was sweet.
Man.
Yep.
Is there like queerness a large part of the show? Or
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, how
is that addressed? Because it always seemed like kind of a weird voyeuristic, like, these are like five gay guys helping you out because gay guys know what to do with their life.
Yeah.
Like a little bit.
I guess they're all gay and they don't make any reservations about that.
Yeah.
But they also seem to be professionals at the top of their fields.
Mm.
So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just they are gay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
it's not like...
Like, here's a straight person who's like, never talked to a gay, or is it like...
It's not really that.
Okay.
Or at least they don't make a big deal of it. Like, at the end when the guy was crying, he mentioned that he had never really hung out with any gay people before.
I mean, that's like a...
Yeah.
I guess if you're in rural Georgia, like,
totally,
that's probably really a great thing.
Yeah. But the two other guys, they seemed like they'd probably at least met and occasionally spent time with.
Yeah. Well, it definitely came out of, like... because it was like a late 90s, early 2000s show originally, and that's like, it makes a lot more sense back then, where it was
because that's when I remember it from.
Yeah, a show existing called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy existing in that time, like, makes so much sense, I feel like, because that was like, I was barely alive, but
it was a useless member of society.
Yeah, I was like 19. but it was like, I feel like a time where, people were very like progressive in like, we're going to put gay people like front and center of TV shows and stuff, but we're maybe not going to like handle it as like tactfully as like we know now, but it's like just them being like quote represented like was enough at the time. So like a show like that was like a big step forward, where now we look at it and it's kind of like, oh, this seems like weird to call it out like that.
Exactly. It seemed a little bit like, I remember when it was like on the first time, I never watched it, but seeing the billboards, I was like, man, it feels like they're just saying like, I mean, yeah, again, I was a useless member of society too, so I probably didn't have this thought till later, but it was like, seems like they're just saying, well, all gay men are like well dressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it seemed like it was more of that kind of show where they were like, ha, gay people are funny and feminine.
There's another show I didn't watch, so I'm about to lump it in anyway, like Will and Grace is like around that time too, and it seems kind of similar. It's like, I know that people love that show and I think it handles it well, but I don't know. But it's like also like for sure like stereotypes, like trafficking in stereotypes, but it was like just enough at the time that
it's all baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I think this one handles it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now it's the reboot, and we know that they're just using that name because that's what
the
name recognition is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun. I like it. I'd recommend it. At least the first episode. It's very sweet. So, and then my last 20% goes to gun laws and how amazing it is that things are happening and how these kids are really pushing things forward. And
I know.
Like, yeah, it's
really incredible.
Yeah, out of tragedy is a movement, which is really...
And so it's incredible that it's...
Yeah.
I feel like we've all... Yeah, I think we talked about this last night.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we'd all given up.
Yeah,
and needed these kids
sure.
to be like, no, we're not giving up.
Yeah,
we were ready. I mean, I was ready for the pattern to repeat itself. Of, in 3 days, we'll have all sort of stopped talking about it. And that's not... It's great. I mean, today, I don't know when we'll release this podcast, but today, Dix decided to stop selling assault rifles in
Walmart, too.
Yep. Yeah. Things are changing.
Right.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, 100% because of some teenager. Like, they're so insistent.
Yep.
Yeah. Emma Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're facing,
cool
like, a lot of death threats.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's so much
easy
for them. Like, after having survived a shooting, they're so strong.
Yeah.
Like, brave.
Yep. Good
amazing.
Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to go next?
Sure. Okay. I think the thing that's been on the top of my mind, maybe I'll say like 30%, I'm reading this book on the history of Los Angeles, and it's interesting. It's I would say like it's a left-leaning book for sure. It's written by a socialist professor at UCLA, I think, Mike Davis. if you're listening to this, sorry if I got your university wrong. It's really good. But one thing that's kind of like tripping me up and has been like screwing with my mind recently is he talked a lot about the film industry, obviously, and just how a lot of like early movies, and I think we discussed this briefly last night on a not podcast, a lot of like Weimar Republic filmmakers and artists escaped Nazi Germany, came to LA, and then they were like, uh-oh, now we are being paid to write shit. Just like these, like you were saying, Andrew, like these like ridiculous sequels that like didn't stand the test of time. Yeah. And it's just gotten me thinking a lot about like the purpose of art. And just like, especially in somewhere like LA, where I feel like a lot of people come here because they have like dreams of making something, but then I think there's that sometimes can get conflated with like making it or being paid to make art in any way. And I read today, oh my god, China
Phil. Yeah, well, right next to the
one of our would-be guests who could not make it.
Put him on blast.
Yeah.
Who was it? It was Pisha Worden, our fellow knife stasher.
You better be listening.
Yeah.
She just got back to me, said she couldn't make it. Hope that I found someone.
She made it on.
It did not.
Yeah.
In her own way.
In her own way. Damn her. She's so good. But yeah, I think, I've just, like, in the past few days, I've just been thinking a lot about, like, yeah, so I read today there are like 437 shows currently in scripted shows in production.
Damn.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And I was like, do I want, like, I was always like, I came to LA and I was like, I came to LA to do improv and I was like, and I like want to write a TV show because that seems like the next step. I was like, do I have anything to say that these 437 sure. TV shows aren't saying? And I think it's just gotten me thinking a lot about, like, what do I want to make and what is the value of the art that we make now? And I think about, like, improv, and improv to me seems so, like, pure and lovely because it's in the moment, you're not getting paid to do it. Yeah. It's literally you just want to make people laugh and you want to, like, explore comedy. And that always seems so good. And then other thing, like, when I think about, like, do I want to be a writer on a TV show? Like, I don't really know. And I also don't know if, like, getting, like, just wanting to, I mean, I guess, like, wanting to be paid to do comedy, is that would be amazing. Because that becomes your job and, like, that's what you want to do. But then I'm like, is that making an impact? Like, do I want to make art just for me? Or do I want to make art to make money? Anyway, it's just, like... Yeah. Really been screwing me, and I'm curious as to what you both think, because you're both artists and very funny, smart people.
Thanks. I think, I think about that, about, like, I think, like, actually wanting to make something gets lost in it, because it's become such a, like, dream, you know, it's, like, so many people's dream to, like, move to LA and, like, quote, make it.
Right, like, what does that mean?
And other people talk about this, but, like, you meet so many people who are, like, gotta network, like, I gotta get an agent, I gotta, like, find, you know, I gotta, like, get in good with, like, these groups and stuff, and then it's, like, doing anything? Are you, like, writing anything? Are you, like, producing anything at all? Or do you just want to, like, be famous, you know?
Right.
I think in LA, because here's sort of the deal that I always think about, is that in Indianapolis, doing art was so much more of a joy, I felt.
Yeah.
And doing it for money was more of that, because you can do your own art all the time for free. And that's always satisfying and fulfilling in some way. But to get paid for it, in Indianapolis, I made the same amount in 12 weeks as I did in one day here from one commercial thing, you know? And so I get why everyone comes here, because there's more money to be had in it.
Right. And there's, I think, this dream of, like, you could make millions and people could know your name.
Yeah. But at the same time, certainly that one day of work was sort of like, oh, yeah, this is fun. Sort of a silly fun thing I did.
Right.
Instead of, you know, the 8 weeks where I was like, I poured my whole self mm-hmm. into this thing for 8 weeks, and it was extremely satisfying and an experience I'll never forget, and people mm-hmm. I'll never forget.
Right. And it feels very, like, I keep coming back to this, like, idea, like, I want to, that when you make a show, right, and you're, like, it's one of these hundreds of shows, I think this number just, like, really screwed with me.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, like, what, is it, it's just another workplace sitcom,
you know,
most of the time. It's, sure. like, oh, you just put a bunch of funny people in X situation, and then you have a show. But, like, yeah, it seems like when you're doing something like a play or I don't know, something that you're not getting paid a lot for, and maybe it's not like nationwide,
mm-hmm.
only a small amount of people are seeing it, it feels so much more pure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for some reason in my head, that's just like so much more like justifiable, I guess, in terms of like, I always try to think about actions as like, are they helping people, or are they neutral, or are they kind of like detrimental
mm-hmm.
to the world? And like art, pure art always seems just like neutral to positive. You're like,
yeah.
either no one's seeing it, but you're happy and you're mm-hmm. just, you're not hurting anyone, or you're making people like entertained, or you're like changing art.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, but then sometimes it's like you're making money for these studios, and like, what are the studios doing? And like,
yeah. I think though, because sometimes I think about my favorite shows and how much joy and
mm-hmm.
peace they've brought me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's worth it. It's like,
right, that's
like
a big thing.
Yeah. And I think that most, at least sitcoms, I think, have
mm-hmm.
that impact on people.
Yeah. Like, it's positive
mm-hmm.
escapism, but in a...
Yeah.
You know, like Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think I found this number in there was a New Yorker interview or feature on Donald Glover.
Hmm.
He was talking a lot about Atlanta, which I think... Can you guys watch Atlanta?
I haven't watched it.
No, unfortunately not.
You should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
The second season, I think, comes out tomorrow, but it's...
Is it streaming anywhere, or is it
where is it on? FX.
Hmm.
So if you have a cable package, you can watch
it
online. Yeah, it's like one of my favorite shows. And he made he talked a lot about like just like black representation in art, and how like so much of the time when black people want to make art, they have to like make sure it's catered to a white audience,
mm-hmm.
and like. Like, he said, he had this thing about, like, America's into viewing itself through a black lens at the moment, so, like, black art is in, but it's still, like, controlled and filtered through a white audience, and I was like, it just makes so much sense to me that, like, someone like Donald Glover making this art is so important, and it's so
mm-hmm.
important for the narrative, and then I'm like, what do I have to say that isn't, like, hasn't already been brought to the narrative, and, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of, like, existential-ish
yeah.
questions.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just thinking about, like, I think I've always just thought, like, well, if you're making art in any context, it's good.
Mm.
But now I'm, like, re-questioning that just based on, like, what it's done to, like, the history of Los Angeles. And thinking about all these people who came in the 20s and 30s to make art and were like, oh, we're making things that have been now forgotten. And these people were... Like, didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, cause this will be part of my pie chart, too, but, like, yeah, about those people. And, like,
mm-hmm.
the very, like, first people to come to Hollywood, you, like, picture them so romantically.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, oh, I have, like, a dream to tell stories, you know, that kind of
yeah.
thing. And it's, like, no, they didn't, because this field didn't exist, so it was,
yeah.
like, I'll talk about with Carl Laemmle, but, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it was, like, they were coming at it from, like, I mean, this is what I picked up, is, like, coming at it from, like, a real, like, blue-collar, like, this is just another, like, way to make money,
totally,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of cynical,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until, like, later that, like, yeah, like,
mm-hmm.
a dream, like, of making it in Hollywood.
Right.
And,
I mean, the first movie that was made was, like, a KKK sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, was it... called? Why can't I remember the name of it?
Is you're talking about Birth of a Nation?
Yeah, Birth
yeah.
of a Nation.
Yeah, one of
yeah.
the first like big like
yeah,
blockbusters.
Yeah.
yeah, was Birth of a Nation.
It's like it was like a white supremacist. It's like the white
nice.
Supremacists were like, oh, we have dreams of showing more people
yeah.
our
wow.
vision. Yeah, and like LA was marketed as a white supremacist haven.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of like, ah, man, I don't know if it. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I guess everyone, like, encounters these.
Well, I think...
Yeah, anyone logical?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, I think just even having that thought is, like, a sign that you're probably doing the right thing.
Yeah.
We know a lot of people who are know of a lot of people who are like, yeah, would never stop for a second to think, like, am I, like, contributing anything, like, important? Or, like, am I doing this for the right reasons?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, everyone does have a unique voice, so there are still, even among hundreds, there are still stories to be told, so.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's just, I'm maybe, like, thinking about, I'm rethinking how, I know that I want to make things. I don't think that I could survive without making things.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of rethinking, like, I think I always was like, oh, I just want to be a sitcom writer. But now I'm kind of rethinking that and thinking, like, are there other ways that I can make things without maybe just being like, I'm going to buy into this thing and make money from it.
I think the other thing, too, is people, you got to, like, do one to do the other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, Don Glover was a writer on a sitcom, you know, 30 Rock for a long time, and now
he got where he was.
And,
yeah,
was able to build up enough clout that he was able to make whatever he wanted on FX, which is his, like, dream passion project kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. Everyone's going to start somewhere. I guess, yeah, when you look at people who've already made it, you're like, ah, I'm not there.
Right, yeah.
Gotta start somewhere.
That's true. And I think, yeah, the road to getting to making what you want to make is a little disheartening sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what I want to be doing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to write for this sitcom that I know is terrible.
I know. Right. Exactly. Like, one of my friends who wants to be a writer was talking about how he would be okay with writing on, like, a Big Bang Theory type show, even though he hates the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's still, like, a starting point.
Totally,
yeah.
I
guess
I killed a writer on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I guess it's something that you're still getting paid to do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
David Fincher. First movie was Alien 3, like a shitty, you know, atrocious cash grab, you know.
Right. You're about to tell us that David Fincher writes for the...
That's what I first I was like, Big Bang Theory, David Fincher, you know. That was his pilot. Of course, it was very different.
Yeah.
Studio had a lot to say. So there's that. A lot of it, I don't know, I'll say another, like, 40%, is, like, the trip to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, super fun. Just lovely. And, like, Kyle, my boyfriend, I'm 90% sure does not listen to this podcast because he has an insane job that, like, he gets off at, like, midnight every night. But, just, like, I don't know, it was really nice. It was our first time traveling together and, we got along really well, and we didn't, like, there was no point where we were, like, really frustrated with each other or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It was nice. Very in love with him. And I realized, like, I think that, like, I just feel like I have a lot of love in my heart all the time, and it's nice to have, like, somewhere to put it.
Yeah.
We're going to Phoenix tomorrow for a music festival where his favorite band, Dr. Dog, is playing, and my favorite artist, Father John Misty, is playing the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. And then another, like, 20%, maybe, 20%, he might be moving to North Carolina for 6 or 7 or 8 months for a project, which is, like, sad, but also I'm very happy for him because it's, like, a really good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never done long distance before, so I'm thinking about that a little bit and, like, what I want to do before he leaves.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, you guys did it for a year.
A year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I have tips.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool. I've never done it for longer than, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah. It involves talking on the phone almost, if not every day.
Yeah.
And then never parting without knowing the next time you're going to see each other.
Mm.
So, like, having, like, in 3 months, I'm going to come to North Carolina and I'll see you. And we have something to look forward to.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. Because I went to study abroad for 6 weeks in the summer and was, like, dating someone.
Yeah.
But that was just, like, I was in France and I was, like, no. Just, like, Skyped and it was really messy.
Right.
And then 10%, I had a thing I was thinking about. Oh, I'm just thinking about, like, music practice. I'm learning guitar and I'm taking voice lessons. And a lot of it's just, like, I'm, like, in guitar, I'm, like, practicing, like, making my scales faster and smoother. And I'm, like, man, I really, like, I feel like there's a better way to learn than what I'm doing because I feel like I'm not making any progress. But I don't. I think I just get, like, frustrated with being bad with things. There was a Reductress article that was, like, so-and-so quits anything that she's not immediately good at.
Yeah.
That's, it's hard to, like, not do that.
Yeah.
Were you in that conversation with Jen, our improv coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you there?
Yeah, the old dogs. Improv. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, Jen just mentioned that for the listeners, that they did a study that the reason that it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks is that old dogs get really frustrated when they're not good at something right away, mm-hmm. and kids will do things forever even if they are terrible at it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's something I think about. Oh, and like maybe a tiny percentage. I was thinking about like feminism and like what I am doing in terms of like looks and stuff. And I think I'm going to experiment with, I was just like really mad at this comment that someone in our sketch class made. And so I was thinking about like growing out my body hair in protest.
Oh, nice.
<That's good>. Yeah. So I was thinking about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe I should give context on that too.
There's
a person in one of our sketch classes who just her idea for a sketch was that a female masseuse was so disgusting, but the only example she could come up with for how she was disgusting was that she had body hair.
Yeah.
That was it.
And that just made me so mad. And I was like, I'm really mad about that, but I don't have bought, like, I shave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I should just try not and, like, see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You should do it. If you don't like it, you can.
I know, exactly. I can get rid of it. It's a nice freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
That's it.
Nice. My pie chart, I'll start out with, I'll say, like, 15%. The universal monsters. And there's like a couple things that fall into that, but yeah, like the like classic like Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman monsters from like the 30s and 40s.
Have you been like rewatching?
Yeah. Okay. I think it probably started with this because I got
we're looking at a poster.
Yeah, there's a poster. A Dracula poster that this really awesome company based out of Austin, Texas, called Mondo, does like old, they like do like hand-drawn like screen prints, and they unless like really amazing artists to do like these super limited edition like
prints. Mondo, Mondo,
Mondo, mondotees.com,
oh, I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah, they're associated with like Birth, Movies, Death, the website, and they do like a bunch of like Alamo Draft House is like, this is all like one company. Or something sort of like that. I've wanted to get one of their posters forever because they're amazing, but they sell out within milliseconds. It's so hard to get one because there's like there's 200 of them. Like, wow. It's super limited edition. But yeah, I finally got, they did like a whole series of Universal Monsters ones, and I finally got one. I was so happy. And then I started listening to, in conjunction with getting this poster, I started listening to a podcast called, You Must Remember This. That's the name of it. You Must Remember This, which is about like Golden Age of Hollywood. And this lady does like series on like just different like interesting stories. And she did one on Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, who played Dracula and Frankenstein in these old movies. And yeah, that's why we were talking about some of this last night, because like it was just so insane back then. And we were talking, I was talking about how like we always like think of like nowadays being like so cynical when it comes to like filmmaking and like production and like how everything's just like a cash grab and it's shameful. But back then it was so much worse.
It's like crazy.
It's insane. They like, I was talking with these Universal Monster movies, they would just like, it was just like crank them out no matter what. And it was like, if something was successful, put out 100 of them immediately, like as fast as you can. It doesn't matter if like the actor like gets sick and dies from exhaustion. Just, like, fucking recast them and get them out there as fast as you can. Do off as many like rip-offs as you can, as many like just cash in on anything that's successful.
Because I guess then also like just the very idea of movies was new and exciting.
Yeah.
So like you'd be like, it's another movie, and people would just go see it.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah. People were, I think, less discerning probably. And yeah, and I talk about with Carl Laemmle, he like, the guy who founded Universal Studios, he founded it, he was an immigrant, and he bounced around the Midwest for a while, like, starting like clothing stores and like, food stores, and like nothing, grocery stores, I guess they're called.
Food stores.
nothing really took, and so he like had the thought, he's like, if I go to Hollywood and make movies, that's something that, like, that's a product that the audience can't take home with them. Like, yeah. I get to make one and then just keep getting money from it.
That's such an interesting and smart way to look at it. Yeah. I've never thought about it
that way. Yeah. Yeah. And so he started Universal Studios. And yeah, the monster movies, like, saved them from bankruptcy.
Really?
Yeah, they're on the verge of, like, ending. And then his son, like, yeah, bankrolled Dracula. Mm. And it was a
Did that come out of, like, out of an idea that someone had, or...
How did the first Dracula come about? It was... I can't remember the details exactly. She for sure talks about it in the podcast. But it was, like, they had the rights to it for a while. I don't think they, like... planned on, I mean, like, they didn't, like, make it as if it was gonna be, like, a huge hit. I think mm-hmm. it was just, like, let's give this a shot. And then when that was a huge hit, then they were, like, whatever, like, find monsters. Get out there and find me monsters. So it was, like, Frankenstein mm-hmm. came. And then that was kind of it for, like, 10 years. And they kind of, like, stalled out after that. They had, like, Phantom of the Opera as, like, a silent movie and stuff. And then they kind of stalled out. And then the Wolfman brought them back. And then they, yeah, and then they did, like, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and Mummy. Oh, Mummy was in the early batch. Mm. Yeah. They're just fascinating. Boris Karloff? Yeah, Boris Karloff again. Yeah, and then I also bought all of them on Blu-ray. I had them on DVD, but I found, like, a better deal on, like, the Blu-rays. So, yeah, I've been watching them. I forget if I was going anywhere in general with this, but yeah, I love those movies, and I'm fascinated by that, like, yeah, that era. They, like, I just told China when they were filming Dracula. I told you both. When they were filming Dracula, during the days they would film Dracula with Bela Lugosi, and then at nights they would film, like, the Spanish version of Dracula because they wanted to, like, get it to as many people as possible. So that with, like, a different cast, but the same script and same set, they would just film the Spanish version every night.
And I wonder, I don't know precisely, like, when all the unions kind of arose in the movie industry, but I'm sure back then.
Boris Karloff founded the Screen Actors Guild.
Really?
Or, like, yeah, like, the union, the Actors Union.
Wow.
Yeah. Or, like, he was one of the, like... Boris Karloff, yeah, was one of, like, the founding members, because on Frankenstein, he would work for, like, 19-hour days, because he would be in makeup for 6 hours, then he would, like, have to, like, haul people around and have this, like, sweltering, horrible... heavy-duty makeup, and then be in makeup for 6 hours, sleep for 40 minutes, and then get up and do it all again.
Oh my god.
He, like, ruined his back doing it, but, like, killed him through his whole life, like, his, like, issues that came from that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Boris.
Yeah,
Boris. I know.
He's a very cool guy. Yeah, he comes out a lot better in that story. It's kind of, like, competing narratives the whole time of Bella and Boris, and Bella, like, everything that Boris does right, Bella does wrong. You should just listen.
I will, yeah. You know. I always think of the Bauhaus song, Bela Lugosi's Dead.
Oh,
I don't know. Do you know that one?
No.
It's just a song when Bela Lugosi died, this band Bauhaus that was like a very, like, I forget the name of the rock, but it was like a emo rock band in whatever year, 80s, was like, Bela Lugosi's Dead. It was like, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I can't remember the name. It's like, yeah. Anyway, not a great song, but just, like, whenever someone says Bela Lugosi, that's what I think of.
Yeah, he's an icon.
He is,
We just watched The Black Cat, which is another, like, I heard about, I had known about it, but, yeah, I wanted to watch it because of this podcast. Mm-hmm. It was, like, the first team-up of Boris and Bella in a movie. And, yeah, Boris plays, like, a Satanist that, like, tourists... traveling in Europe, like, accidentally, like, stay the night in, like, his house.
Mm.
Yeah, it's great.
Ooh,
yeah.
Classic storyline.
Exactly, yeah, I love it. Yeah, and people kind of lump that in with, like, the monster movies.
Yeah,
along those lines.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. So that's, what did I say, 15%? I'll say 25% is the Oscars, the Academy Awards.
Oh, my gosh.
Sunday. Yeah.
They're this Sunday?
Sunday, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, I'm going to be... all alone for most of them, but that's okay, because China's gone, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
But that's okay, I love them, and I'm excited to watch.
Do you have picks?
I've been thinking about it. My work hasn't done the, like, Oscar picks thing they normally do.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's just not happening this year. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at predicting them anyway, because I always let my, like, feelings get in the way.
Of course.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, I was just watching an AV Club video today about how, like, Gary Oldman for The Darkest Hour is, like, the front runner for Best Actor right now, and it's, like, that's the one, like, objectively bad movie that made, like, that everyone kind of agrees isn't great.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but
I just don't. I feel like Churchill movies are old, and also he was not a good guy.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on here. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So yeah, that's like a bummer with them is that it's like the rule of like no one can agree on first or second, so the third best movie usually wins in the Oscars.
Oh, interesting. When they're voting, do they pick top three?
You pick all. I think you rank them. I think you rank 10, and it's weighted, so it skews the results so much towards like mediocre movies.
Dumb. I feel like they should just vote for one.
Yeah.
I hate systems that are like that.
Yeah.
Just pick your favorite and go by that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially if it's weighted like that, where like the third one. That's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. So Darkest Hour, like, I don't know if it's a front runner for Best Picture. I haven't, like, read a whole lot about it, but.
I don't think so.
What do you think? Oh, I think Shape of Water is, like, probably.
Which I will be thrilled with.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
And it's like, it's a love letter to Hollywood, which is, like, the safest bet when you're voting for Best Picture.
It's a monster movie, right? Kind of?
Yeah. Oh, have you not seen it?
No.
It's great.
I really have not done a good job this year. That was another thing I was seeing.
Any favorites from this year?
Honestly, I think my favorite movie this year was The Florida Project, which wasn't nominated. Mm. But I thought that was so... Then I watched Tangerine, which was from another year. But, like, I went on a Sean Baker kick a little bit, which I really liked. And I really like Lady Bird.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, Get Out, I think, deserves it. I thought Get Out was so good. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot. I haven't seen Calling By Your Name. I haven't seen The Shape of Water.
Yeah, I've missed a few big ones. I just did on Twitter. There, somebody was like a meme going around. Yeah, that was like replace the best nine. Like, if none of those nine were nominated, what would you nominate for the nine movies? It's fun to think about. It's like, damn, it was a good year for movies. If you can like do a pretty good other nine, you know? Yeah.
Did you see Phantom Thread?
No. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Talk about that. You didn't like it, right?
I didn't like it, and I like. Really, I'm so curious to what you both think.
Yeah,
I need to. We just saw. So this is my. Let's say 20% is the movie Annihilation. You know this?
Oh yeah, I love Ex Machina.
Yeah, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you haven't seen Annihilation?
No, it's on Netflix, right?
It will be in like a week or so. Oh, it's like super limited release, and then it'll just go on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You'll think about it for a long time. Mm. It's I found it more interesting than enjoyable. Like, I loved Ex Machina.
Yeah.
I was nauseous at the end of the film.
Really?
It's a very, like...
It's unsettling.
An aggressively, like, weird movie.
Oh.
So
it's, like, a step up from Ex Machina? Like, is it on that same path, or...?
I liked Ex Machina a lot better than I liked Annihilation.
Okay. There, yeah. Yeah. Because I also, like, I'm a huge fan of... Is it Alex Garland? He was the writer for 28 Days Later and Sunshine, which is I love that movie so much. And then he directed Ex Machina, and now he's directed a sci-fi movie called Annihilation.
Yeah.
And I feel like this feels like a step backwards to me.
Huh.
I don't know. I've got a lot of thoughts on it, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone, you especially.
And it's coming out in a week, so we can talk about it.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it for sure.
Next podcast.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. But we saw that on Sunday, and I've for sure been thinking a lot about it. It's definitely not. It's like a super well done movie. I just don't know if it like worked. Like, I just can't say I like liked it all that much.
Is there like a kind of a singular like question or idea? Like, Ex Machina was like, you know, very much about like AI and is an AI human or not? And like,
right.
Does Annihilation follow the
story? For sure, dealing with like, big themes of like, I think. I don't know. I'm hesitant to say too much. Yeah, it was one that I didn't even watch the trailer going in. Like, every day in reviews.
That's why Ex Machina, I didn't know anything about it before watching it. And I really, honestly, I feel like I always enjoy movies more when I don't know anything about them.
Yeah. I saw, with our friend Erica Matricia, I saw The Invitation, a horror movie from last year.
Oh, okay.
Last year. Yeah, and it was the same thing. It was like, all I knew was like, there's a horror movie, and it's supposed to be good, and that's the best way to go into that movie, because it's... fucking insane, and like the like twists and turns are so exciting.
Yeah.
You guys haven't seen it?
No.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Watch it. I realize also you two are the only friends I have who like horror movies.
Oh, really?
So I need to start watching horror movies with you, because I've been like, I really want to watch all these horror movies, and none of my roommates, Kyle won't, like no one else I know, they're all like, why would I want to be scared?
That's the common thing.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that from people a lot. Of like, why would I like pay money to be scared?
I'm actually surprised at how few people like horror movies. No one in my family likes horror movies. It's really interesting, but I very much enjoy them.
I love them, yeah.
Because it's like a way to control your own emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, same for like, I wonder if those people also are like against like sad mood or like dramas, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
It's like, why would I pay money to be sad? That makes even less sense to me than paying money
totally,
to be scared.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, because being scared is an immediate like, emotion. Yeah, then it's over.
Yeah, the sadness sits with you.
Yeah, yeah, man. I remember after, like, Saving Private Ryan, it was probably, like, when I was a kid I saw that, and I was sad for, like, a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. I don't know what percent I'm at, but I'll say I'm at 50. So, yeah. I'll say 30% is an incredible, such a good game for the Switch called Celeste, and it's an indie game, and it's just unbelievable. I can't recommend it enough. If anybody who's listening to this plays Switch games, it's like a 2D platformer, so it's like jumping. Yeah. And it's so insanely hard. It's like one of the hardest games I've ever played, and it's a hot take of mine is I don't think any video game should be hard until this one. This one like has turned me around, because they are just so smart about like the design of the game and the interface with it. It's like it's hard, but it's never frustrating. They like just find that like perfect balance, and like a big part of it is that like you never get sent back too far. Like it saves on every like new like screen that you get to.
Okay.
So it's like it's addictive, because you just like keep doing something over and over and over again.
And it's not you have to go
10 seconds.
10 seconds, yeah. And sometimes, yeah, it's like
that's
at the most.
So smart.
Yeah, at the most, you're like the screen you're on is going to be like 30 seconds. So it's like, that's all you're ever going to get set back, but it's sometimes, like, stringing together, like, the right, like, combination of jumps in that 30 seconds is so hard.
But it's, like, because it's the amount of time you want to, like, you're like, oh, okay, one more time.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't do, like, some obnoxious, like, you die, it's green, like, continue with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 kind of thing. It's just, like, immediately puts you back in it, so you don't have any time to get, to, like, give up.
Wow.
You're just immediately, like, I'll try it again.
Oh, my God.
It feels like.
At the end of the level, it tells you how many times you die. Andrew, at this last level, was 481 times.
Yeah, 481. And it's so nice. It's, like, such a big part of it, too. It's such, like, an uplifting, like, positive game. And it, like, always reminds you of, like, it's, like, be proud of your death count. Like, that means you're learning, or, like, that means you're getting better. And, like, because the other amazing thing about the game is, it, like, the story is so deep. And, like,
What's the, like, overall,
it's about a girl named Madeline who's trying to climb a mountain, and that's kind of all you know about her.
Oh, okay.
And then as the story goes on, you like realize that it's like super like a metaphor for like depression and anxiety and like overcoming your like self-doubt and stuff like that. It's such like a beautiful, uplifting game.
Oh my gosh.
She has like, in some parts of the game, she has shadows of herself that chase her around. It's really beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of like the bad guy in the game is like her like anxiety and they'll like chase her.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
It's just, IGN gave it like a 10 out of 10, which they've given like 3 games in the past 10 years, like 10 out of 10.
Wow.
And this is also, it's so cool. I've been like reading about the developers, because they're just like an indie team from Seattle, like just people who like love video games. And the score is amazing. It's like a real synth, like chiptune kind of like old school score. It's great.
Man, you're like, okay, you know those ads that like the indie companies will like just blast you with ads for the same like bra company or whatever over and over again until you just buy it? I feel like you're like that with the Switch. Because I'm at a point where I've never played video games, and I'm like, should I start playing them? Like, these sound pretty fun.
I would love that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think I'm like, we counted one time, I'm like, I think I can attribute like 5 people who own a Switch like to me.
Really?
They bought a Switch because of me. It feels great.
I mean, I've definitely, like, because of you, to my friends who play video games, I have been like, you guys should get a Switch. I can't personally test it, but someone I trust.
It's so great. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, of those 5 people and everyone who I know has gotten one, no one's ever been like, it's, like, kind of gathering dust, or, like, it was fun for a little while, but I went back to the PS4. Everyone's like, it's changed the way that I, like, think about, like,
how
video
interesting.
Games. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
And I love that it seems to be very, like, cooperative, positive, overall games.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful thing about Nintendo, I think, is that even the shooter games are paintball.
And Nintendo's very much, they've always been about, like, the goal with video games is to, like, get people, like, on the same couch, like, playing together and, like, having fun and talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what all their games, and this one isn't a Nintendo. It's an independently produced game, but yeah, so many of them have that kind of mentality of like, we are like a game, because they were a game company for 100 years before they ever made video games. So like,
yeah. Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they started as a card company in like the 1890s or something. Wow. Yeah, yeah. So that's always, yeah. So that's what they've always been about, is like, we want people to like come together and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Super cool.
That's
cool.
So lovely.
Yeah. And then the last percentage is theme parks, I'll just say. We're going to Disneyland sometime in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think about that. I love Disneyland.
Have you been to Disneyland before?
Yeah.
Okay.
We went last May.
Oh, okay.
For the first time. I've been in Disney World, but that's the first time I've been to Disneyland. Mm. It is wonderful.
It's so much fun.
I haven't been since I was like maybe 12.
Yeah.
But I really would like to go again.
I was so prepared to be a skeptic before I went the first time, because it was like, people are like crazy about it and like it's their whole life. And after I've gone, I'm like, I don't know if it's my whole life, but it's, I get the like,
it's, like really fun.
Passion. Yeah. It's just such a beautiful, fun place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does seem like that. Yeah. In college, and I remember, I mean, cause I went to high school in California and college in California, and like, you would meet a fair amount of people who had the like, yearly passes and would go almost every weekend.
Yeah.
And, but I knew some people who went to DCP, the Disney College program.
Cool. Do you know where you like become, you get to be a character?
Yeah. Eventually, but you like start out in maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are like cleaning the bathrooms, but they love it so much. Yeah. It's like just being there is enough.
Man,
it's crazy.
Huh? Yeah, it is. It's just a happy place.
Hmm.
Happiest place on earth.
No, that's true. Is that official? Did they do a study?
Yeah. Yeah, and Universal too. Just for like, I've been thinking about a lot of work, obviously, and things. But theme park and theme park design has been on my mind. Should we ask each other questions?
I guess
We are at 1 hour now. So.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
We get indulgent with the pie charts.
I know. That was fun.
Cool. Should we do? What? How should we do this?
We can just, any of us can pose a question, and we can all three answer it.
All right. Okay. Great. Cool. And these aren't speed round yet. We'll just do normal questions and then we'll move into speed round.
We can do speed round. We are at an hour.
So. That's fine.
extra special episode. We are extra indulgent.
Let's see. Anyone have any questions they've been sitting on? I feel like I definitely have.
Hmm. Man. I feel like my big question was like, why do you... Well, what do you... Yeah. I guess I'll kind of really ask it in a different way, but like, why do you do the art that you do?
It's a big question.
I think you hit the nail on the head when it was just that, like, I can't not do it, you know? I think that's my biggest thing, and that's like a big like life philosophy of mine, of like trying to decide where like focus my energy and stuff, is I always just try and think about like, what would I do if nobody was making me do this, you know?
Yeah.
And the answer is like, I write, like even when I'm like, I don't have anything going on, like I'll just find myself writing. The same with improv, like no matter what, like I'll find people and I'll do improv. Yeah. Whereas like stand up, it's like, nobody's making me do stand up. I'm not doing stand up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds a little cheesy, I think, but it's like, I've been performing since I was 4 years old, I think.
Yeah.
And I just love it so much. And truly, when you're in a good production of something, film or stage or whatever, man, it feels good. Even if it's just like for, it's like one of the most fulfilling projects I did was about, it was called Dolores, and it was just about two women who were both domestic abuse, going through domestic abuse, and we didn't have big audiences, but I think it was by far the best thing I've ever done, and that alone was like, like, it'll stay with me forever, which is amazing.
Right, and I think that, like, speaks to the fact that you didn't have a big audience, but still, like, it meant something to you. I think there's something very pure about that. It's like, I feel like that is, like, art for the sake of art.
Definitely. Yep. And it's so hard to do that. Because I still find myself all the time of, like, like, I want to do things, and then I'm like, but I can't, like, put that anywhere. I can't like do that, you know. I like want to write something, but I'm like, I don't think that anywhere would like buy that, so I'm not gonna write it. It's like, I should just write it.
I think there's, I think I've been thinking about the same thing, is like, I have had these ideas for like web series or things that I want to make, and I tend to filter them through a lens of like, what does that say about my career, who's gonna watch it, and then I'm like, wait, I should just make it
definitely
for the fun of it, and if I'm not making it for that, then there's no point.
Definitely. I think we asked Andrew this, but I'm curious what your guys' answer is. What's a time that you thought you were really funny, but it didn't get, like, enough of a response? Mm. Like, you're disappointed. That...
That's a good one. Wow. That's a tough one. I feel like sometimes in, like, group texts, I'll make a joke and I'm like, this is great, and then it gets buried, and I feel... Or the worst is when just no one responds to it, and yours is the line. There's seven people in the chat, and you're like, did I kill it? Is that it? my God.
Yeah. Do you have any specific ones that you can think of? Jokes you made in group chats?
Not like super specific. There was one really recently, actually. I don't know if anyone in this group chat is... but, like, there was just this, like... Basically, a joke where, like, in Japan, we got a caricature of me, Andrew, and Kyle. And Andrew's and Kyle's caricatures were, like, super spot on. And mine just, like, wasn't that great. Like, it was clearly, like, a woman with a square jaw, because I have a very square jaw. But, like, it wasn't, like, super obviously me. And so, like, Kyle made a joke that it was, like, Andrew, Kyle, and this girl named Mindy. And then and Alice was, like, I think it's Andrew, Amy, and then another guy's name. And I Googled that guy. And I found an article about someone with that name, like, being made CEO of something. And I sent that article because I was like, that's, I don't know. Anyway, and no one still has
land.
It's been a day and a half, and no one's anything. yeah, so.
That's great. Do you guys know, follow Ryan Creamer on Twitter?
No.
He's very funny. He does a lot of, like, he's like a, I don't know, I think he's a UCB guy, but he's just like red hair and like a red mustache, and he posts a lot of pictures of like him smiling real big and like get out there and chase your dreams and like dash Ryan Creamer. So it's kind of like ironic, but he's very funny about it. And I still laugh when I think about it. He shared a text chain with his family, and he said, I sent this to my family, and then a day later my sister got into medical school, and it was a picture of him in a towel, and it was like he had just gotten out of the shower, and he said he sent it to his like mom, dad, and sister, and he was like just got out of the shower squeaky clean, and then it was nothing for a day, and then his sister was like, I got into Cedar Sinai or whatever, and everyone was like, oh my God,
wow. Congratulations. Oh man, yeah, that's thing. Yep. Yeah. I don't know if you guys feel this way, but like a lot of the time when like when I'm kind of like new to a group of friends, even though I feel like I'm not totally like I can't say that I'm like super new to anything anymore because I've like been in my living situation since September, but like I still get like this anxiety about like participating in group jokes because
totally,
I'm like
yeah.
Oh, if I'm not funny then they'll oust me.
Yeah.
So I'm still like I still get like I've so much of the time I just don't respond because I'm like my response is not funny enough,
right,
and yeah. There's a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like even in, when you're in groups, sometimes I feel like I'm slow to pick up on, oh, you guys are doing a thing.
You guys are doing a bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit. Yeah.
Okay. And it's like going on for a while. I'm like, what are you two talking about?
Ooh,
and I'm
like,
I'm not going to, I'm just going to stay out of this.
Mm.
I'm like, huh.
Yeah. That leads me to another question then. Who are you the funniest around? Who, like, in your life are you the funniest around?
I feel like you guys.
Oh, okay.
I think my family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Family.
I think my family thinks I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel free to, you know, say whatever around them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you guys, my family, and then Claire. Claire Hall.
Mm.
Future guest.
Yeah.
Future guest.
Yeah.
She could make it tonight.
Yeah. She's only in Indiana.
Hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I think my mom, because around my mom, it's, I guess, the same kind of thing. I'm just, like, so, I'm, like, obviously I don't give a shit what my mom thinks about me, because I know that she loves me.
Yeah.
And, like, so I'm, like, completely myself, and I tend to take, like, risks with her, because I think my mom tends, she doesn't get my humor, so I'm more inclined to, like, do really weird things with her, because she's like, what are you doing? Stop that. She just, like, always, like, when I'm around her, she's, like, she watches a lot of, like, British procedural dramas, and she just wants me to leave her alone so she can watch her British procedural dramas, so I, like, tend to do a lot of, like, because it's, like, great because you have, like, she's a built-in straight man.
Yeah.
So I get to be the crazy person, and it's, like, doing improv, but she just doesn't know it. And then my friends, I think, like, one big thing I was thinking about was, like, my friends up in San Francisco, like, I feel like I could say anything and they would laugh. Mm. Which, when I'm there, I'm, like, so performative and I'm like, this thing? And they're like, Amy's so funny. She's going to make it. And then I come to LA and I'm like, that's not the case. No one thinks I'm funny here. But, yeah. So, probably, like, yeah, my friends from college, they think I'm hilarious.
That's fascinating that both of you guys would name family. Because I'm not at all. Oh, interesting. Yeah, no. I feel like I don't make any, like, effort, I guess, to be funny around my family. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little bit, but yeah, for sure it's Kyle Mesnarek, my best friend.
Yeah.
Future guest.
And then, where does he live down in Chicago?
He's in Chicago now, yeah. And he lived out here for a long time.
Yeah.
Chicago. But yeah, him number one, and then also my friend Hannah Evans from high school. One of my good friends who are just very funny around each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's fascinating.
But you know.
The family thing. He was getting the refill.
But you, so you, is your family funny?
Yeah, very funny. Yeah, they are. We just don't. Yeah, I don't know what it is. That's very strange. I'll make jokes around them, but yeah, definitely not at my funniest around my family.
Well, I feel like I'm less funny around my dad and my brother, or like I'm like funny about my brother, but I feel like my mom is the only person who like really sees the full spectrum of who I am, because I just torment her. around my dad and my brother, I'm a lot more like, I'm English and witty. But like, I'm just weird.
Does your brother talk with an English accent? I never asked.
Sometimes. Around, he's like me, so okay. Around our parents, we'll talk with British accents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. You have a question, Shannon?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, no, sorry. I don't have a question.
What's the most angry you guys have ever gotten at an inanimate object?
Oh my god. Oh, that's such a good question. Wow. I feel like inanimate objects are the only things I do get, like, well, other than, like, Fox News, which to me is kind of an inanimate object.
Yeah, well, because you're, like, free to, like, really, you can just, like you can yell say at the it. Worst stuff. Yeah. You're not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there have been times my phone's touchscreen breaks sometimes and will touch things itself.
Ooh.
And there are times when I've just been really emotionally frazzled outside of my phone and will try to use it to like text somebody or something. And it'll be like, I'm going to type the letter A 15 million times. Or like it'll just like close out of apps and like open notes and start typing. Like it's kind of creepy. Yeah. And I think then I've just been like so frustrated because I'm like, I don't know how to stop this from happening.
I think mine's definitely like a table, like for stubbing my toe. Like truly like angry and like I'm gonna those are the ones that I'll move them.
But just because this is the most recent, but definitely this week, I don't know if this is the angriest I've ever been, but it was up there. We bought like shelves from Target, and they were like the like invisible shelves, so you like screw into the wall, and then it like screws.
Yeah.
And it's just it was the fucking most batshit dumb design I've ever seen, because it was like
I literally own those shelves and haven't put them up yet because I don't have a drill.
I did it by hand.
Which
that wasn't even the worst part. The worst part is that there's like you screw it in, and then the like the hole for the screw is just a hole. Like it's not like. It should be like a slot all along the back. So what it means is if you're an infinitesimal, even like fraction off, then it won't fit on the wall. So I fucking tore up our kitchen wall trying to put in these kitchen shelves. And then like the anchor, like the screw anchor kept like breaking in the wall.
God, that's...
losing my mind.
Yeah.
I'm so mad.
Those like cheaply produced furniture things that you have to put together.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that IKEA gets like the rap for being bad, but it's like, it's clearly the best. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's so intuitive and so well designed.
Yeah.
Whereas, Target is just horseshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just put together a bookshelf that was from like Amazon, from like a fake IKEA, and I was immediately like, the instruction manual was just like so much worse. Everything was just like, it came with like, I would say about 30 more screws than it needed, and it was just confusing. Just like the way that you were supposed to put it together was like not intuitive, and I mean it didn't get to the point where I was yelling because it wasn't anything like drilling. It was just like putting pieces of wood together. But I was like, man, I miss IKEA furniture. So I just put together a table from IKEA, and I was like, this is great.
It's a breeze. Yeah.
Amazing. No, they're problem. Like, their illustrations are actually great.
Mm-hmm.
People.
And it's, I think it's nice to have just pictures because mm-hmm. I don't ever read the instructions. Mm-hmm. If I'm putting something together, I'm too excited. I don't have time to wait
for it. Yeah, the pictures are great.
Yeah. I just remember another one, too, actually, is my contact lenses. I get so mad at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Sometimes, like, one eye just, like, it won't, like, a contact lens just won't go in.
Yeah,
and then, like,
yeah.
What's wrong with your
yep,
glasses?
Yep. Yep. So mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always think about, there's, like, a Simpsons where Chief Wiggum is like cracking nuts and then mm-hmm. won't crack, and so he's cracking nuts with like the butt mm-hmm. the handle of his gun, and then one won't crack, and so he gets angry and shoots it, and then he's like to the rest of the bowl, he's like, let that be a lesson to the rest of you nuts. And I always think about that with my contacts, because like I'd for sure like just ripped a contact in front of the rest of them. So, like, as a warning.
Yeah.
You gotta be better.
In a related question, have you ever gotten so angry at a person that you've yelled at them?
Oh.
For sure, my brother.
Mm.
Yeah. Does that count? Siblings?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this question is loaded with regret.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I just, like, looking back, I feel mm-hmm. bad. I remember my parents they opened my mail when I was either a senior in high school or maybe in college.
Mm-hmm.
They opened it and then forgot to tell me about it. And it was an invitation to this kid's birthday party who I'd been sort of a mentor to. And I missed it because they had forgotten to tell me.
It was in college. It was well into college.
Oh.
When we were dating.
Really?
Yeah.
It was well into college. And I lost it.
Well,
I feel bad.
I mean, but that's kind of fair. Cause like, then it looks so bad on you.
Right. I mean, I felt bad.
Yeah.
I felt bad for missing the birthday party, and I felt bad for
mm-hmm.
yelling at my parents. In hindsight, I definitely overreacted, but...
It's hard, yeah. Yeah. Have you yelled at anyone?
I don't think so. Like, maybe when I was a kid, I think I remember, like, yelling at my brother, and I think there was a time... there was a time in eighth grade, some friends I met on MySpace. We were just, like, wandering around a park, and we found a golf cart, and the golf cart was on. And it was, the ignition was on, and we drove it around, and then we just drove it back to the, we just drove it around, like, two loops of this park, and then put it back in its place and left. And then, the next day, I don't know, someone had used, like, security footage, something happened, and, like, two of my friends got, like, in trouble for it, and they named me, and my dad... Yeah, first of all, that was, like, terrible of my friends to be like, Amy Clark was also one of them.
Oh, my God.
Wow. For, like, driving a golf cart that someone had left the keys anyway, and it was, like, in a public space.
Yeah.
So, like, we weren't going to get in trouble, but my parents had this thing when I was a kid, because we weren't citizens, of, like, us being deported, and my dad yelled at me, and then I was wearing a Nirvana t-shirt. And he was like, you think you're fucking Kurt Cobain. Like, you think you're so cool. And I was like, I don't know, 13. And I think I yelled at him. I was like, yeah, dad. Like, and I think he said something about, like, you know, you keep this up and you'll be pregnant at 16. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I like Kurt Cobain because I plan to be pregnant at 13. Like, screw you. And then went up to my room.
Amazed your dad pulled the name Kurt Cobain just looking at like a Nirvana show. I don't know if my parents would like
that's so funny.
Know
yeah.
that
that's,
and make that connection.
That plays better for you. Yeah. You too much.
I think it would be like, you think you're what's his name, Drew? It's Kurt.
What's the name of this man on your t-shirt? That was probably the last time I like yelled at someone.
It doesn't, I'm realizing now, it's like, because I've been livid with people, I've been mm-hmm. so mad, but it never even like occurs to me to yell. I just get just cutting, like, just so vicious. Mm-hmm. I say that, like, viciously, most awful,
say it, like,
mean
in
things
a low voice.
I would never think to yell something.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. I think I'm more of a, like, I will get very cold
mm-hmm.
and silent and mean
mm-hmm.
and then go away.
Keep it inside forever.
Yep.
Trying to be better about, like, venting, but
Yeah. Let's do a lightning round.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, anyone throw them out and then we'll all answer.
Okay.
And go.
Okay. What was the last song you listened to?
The Ways from the Black Panther album.
Oh, I still haven't listened to that.
So good. Mm.
Do you have one?
I was looking for live versions of Mirror Mirror by Dr. Dog. Oh, cool. Couldn't find any good ones, but I did listen to a lot of very bad cell phone camera renditions.
Mm. Oh, it must have been something on NPR. Mm. Can't name
the
name. Okay. Yeah. What's your favorite YouTube video right now?
Oh my god, that's so good.
Oh god.
Wow. My brother just got a tortoise, and I showed him that video of the tortoise is having sex. Have you seen that?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
The tortoise makes a sound that's like, ah. It's just so, like, human and vulnerable.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
we had tortoises in our high school, and they would have sex. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, did they make that sound?
Not that I recall. They didn't make any weird noises, but they would for sure fucking, it was such a funny thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my brother's tortoise name is Barry, and he's really friendly, but yeah, he's apparently going to grow real big. They grow like, I don't know what, like, I don't know, 3 feet wide or something.
Wow. And he'll probably outlive your brother, right?
Yeah, they live to like 150. Yeah.
That's crazy.
He also has
like
a...
passed down to generation.
And he has a macaw. They live to like 95.
Ooh. Oh my god.
So he currently has two animals that will outlive him.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know, his poor kids.
Yeah. You can pass those pets down. China, favorite YouTube video?
Yeah. I think the one that's coming to my head, I'm going to have to say it, is the Sweet Transvestite from Rocky Horror.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you've talked about Rocky Horror on here before.
It is like sometimes like, if I'm just like in a weird mood or something, or in a bad mood, I'll just turn that on and it's like, yeah, this is turning my day around.
This has like been a favorite of mine for a long time, but the first thing that came to mind was the Universal Monster thing. The Phantom of the Opera with Claude Rains, the trailer, the 1941 trailer for that, has a scene in it where he like gets scarred. And it's the funniest goddamn thing. I'll watch that, like, just that, like, couple seconds on a loop. Because it makes me laugh so hard, because it's like, he comes into the room and he's like, it's like a maid or someone has, like, knocked over his, like, life's work. And he's like, you've ruined it. You've ruined my work. And she's got, like, boiling, like, oil or something like that on a tray. And there's, like, this beautiful pause. And then she just flips up the tray and hits him in the face. And he does, like, a...
Oh my god, I need to see it.
Funniest thing in the world. And they like do a hard cut. It's just like perfect physical comedy.
But it wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be. It's supposed to be a very dramatic scene.
Wow, I love that.
Oh man.
Do you guys have anything you're looking forward to right now?
I'm going to Phoenix tomorrow.
I'm going to pick up Carl's Jr. breakfast on my way to work tomorrow morning. Yeah,
that's nice.
Very good.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Sausage, egg, and biscuit.
Yeah, nice. I'm having a short trip home in April, and that's exciting.
Yay! For what?
My brother has his, like, not his final, like, collegiate choir concert, but one of the last ones, and it's a hometown visit. And, it's like, my extended family's coming. It's a big ordeal, okay.
Oh, yay!
Nice. Yeah. What's something that you guys wish you liked?
I wish I liked capitalism. I wish I just wanted to make money in a normal 9-to-5 and then was like, after 5 p.m. is my time. I can go home and watch Netflix and be happy. Yeah. That sounds great.
That's fascinating. That's a good one. Mine is comic books.
I feel that way. Have you read The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay?
I read most of it in like high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. And when I bought it, the guy at the bookstore was like, he was like, do you read comic books? And I said no. And he was like, I have a feeling you're going to want to read comic books after this. Mm-hmm. And after reading it, I was like, I get it, but I still don't want to read comic books. Like, it's too much.
Yeah, I've tried a few times, and there are some where I'm like, yeah, it's like, I get that it's good, but I just can't.
Yeah,
it's
not
something I can, like, be passionate about.
Yeah. I think mine is probably sushi.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It's a thing that a lot of people like that. I haven't really had it since I was pretty young, but still.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I've been thinking about it a lot because I had it quite a bit in Japan. And I think I just like wasabi and soy sauce because, like, raw fish, if it's really good, doesn't taste like very much. Mm-hmm. And the sushi rice is usually pretty good. It's, like, kind of, like, salty, like, really soft, like, a good texture rice. But, like, you could make that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I think sushi, like, at the risk of sounding, like, very culturally insensitive, is not... I don't know. I realize, like, I think I just like the condiments that go with sushi.
More than sushi.
Hell yeah.
That's great. I love that kind of hot take.
Yeah. the closest thing recently I've had to sushi is just chunks of raw fish.
Oh.
Like marinated raw fish.
Like in ceviche or in poke or...
No, it was at this like super fancy hotel.
Oh, you're... Yeah, like, yeah, okay.
Paid for.
The New York Times thing or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I tried it and I was like, this, I can't. But also, it's also not, it was just raw fish. It wasn't wrapped in rice. There was not even any, the only like garnish on the plate was grapefruit or something like that.
Yeah, but that's like sashimi.
Yeah. Yeah. Meh, not good.
It's, I mean, yeah, I think it kind of is like, if you like the texture of it, it's great, but... Yeah, I've been thinking, I was like, I used to really like sushi, and I've been thinking about it more, and I'm like, I think I just like wasabi.
Yeah. Well, then, like, Nick Wagger talks about some seafood.
Oysters!
Oysters, yeah.
Yes, they're a vessel for condiment. Oh, my God. Totally. Like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, my God. That's what I've been saying. Like, it's just cocktail sauce. I like cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really just like condiments. That's my problem.
Yeah. Condiments are great.
Yeah,
they are.
Can't blame you.
Yeah. What do you put on a hot dog?
Ooh.
You know what? Just ketchup.
Really?
Oh, okay. All right.
Fucking, that's where I discovered sauerkraut. And now I just eat. I literally buy sauerkraut and eat it.
Really?
Plain. I love pickled things.
Huh. Really?
Ketchup and, like, if they have Dijon mustard. Honestly, again, give me just sauerkraut with ketchup and mustard and I will be happy. I don't need the
hot dog.
Yeah.
I just have a bun.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, mine's ketchup and mustard. Has to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. None of us have the same one there.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, and I like grilled onions, if, like, that's ever an option.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I actually don't like sausages that much also, so, well, like...
Yeah. I have a rule in life that's, never pay for a hot dog.
That's a great rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You're right, there's so often just, like... around at parties and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just like, I like hot dogs. They, like, are fine when I have them, but it's just like, that's something you should never pay for.
Yeah.
It's like water.
Like, it really, they're like 80% bread.
Yeah. A lot of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, just like even cheap the and bad. Sausage
is just, yeah, like really cheap. Yeah, yeah. If, especially if you're buying like one from a baseball game. It's not good.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else?
Any more questions?
I think so.
All right, yeah.
Ready for
All right, floor is closed. Your question. Yeah. I guess we can plug that.
Yeah, sure.
Being indulgent.
So China, California is out right now.
Yeah. So good.
Amy is in the first episode.
That's right.
Andrew has written not only the script, but also the music for this season.
Which is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Love it.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's out now. It's on our Facebook pages, so you just look for it. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever said my Twitter on here. If there's anyone who's listening who doesn't follow me on Twitter, @AGMV. The four letters AGMV.
Yeah, I'll do the same. @AMSCLR. Amscler.
Amscler. Amy.
S.
Clark. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Do you regret your, like, letters, that it's letters?
No, I don't, only because there are so many Amy Clarks out there that this was, like, kind of the only combination that I could find. Yeah. I don't know about you.
I'm the same, yeah. There's no way I was going to get Andrew Martin, so I went A.G. and Andrew Graham Martin V. A.G. and
Are you Andrew Graham Martin V?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Am I going to talk
the
about that?
Fifth?
Yeah. Yep.
Damn!
Yeah.
Is that a lot of pressure on you to...
Yeah, that's... Like, that's yep.
Wow, yeah, I didn't know
my first
that.
Son has got to be Andrew Graham Martin.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if you're, like...
If I don't have a son, I guess then it is. You have to adopt. Yeah, yeah, I guess I could adopt, but yeah, it would just end. Yeah, there was an Andrew Graham Martin who was an artillery captain in the Civil War.
That's crazy.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Yeah. For the North. Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. To know where your family was from back then?
Actually, yeah. Probably it would be New York back then. I don't know, actually. Okay. But yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. That's my, so awesome. That's usually my, like, fun fact in class, like, get to know you activities.
That's also, like, a kind of good, like... Because obviously I know you and know you're liberal, but it was like a kind of like, oh, his family's like, yeah. For the North, that's like, yeah, all right, exactly. They're okay.
Yeah, but I get disappointed that I'm AGMV. It just seems so like mechanical or something. Like everybody has like good ones. Like I could have done like Andrew is hungry or something, you know? Yeah. That would be funny and charming or whatever.
I think when I made mine, I was in like sophomore year of college, and I was like, "What fucking combination of letters hasn't been used yet?"
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I wish I could be something cool, but
too late.
Yeah. Too late. Now they're all taken.
Right. Yep. I know. Literally every Twitter name.
Cool. Also, if you're listening, if you're still listening,
do you have anything to plug?
My Twitter. Okay. Yeah.
If you're still listening, send us a question on the email.
Oh,
I made that email. All I'm getting is notifications from Twitter on there. I want a real question.
Please send us any question.
Yeah. AJ? Send us a question, please.
Is that your dad?
Yeah.
AJ?
Anybody. Yeah. If you send us a question, we'll answer it.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Or raise an issue if you don't like Amy's... hot take about sushi?
Yeah, please. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Cool. Yeah, what song is stuck in your guys' head?
Mine is DNA, Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Mirror Mirror by Dr. Dog, because I was like, man, I really want to find a good live version.
Yeah, and then mine's The Ways by Black Panther.
There we go.
Yep. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
The little goose is dead, the bats have left the bell tower, the victims have been bled, red velvet lines, the black box. The little goose is dead.